Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. It's now 20 minutes after 8. I'm Maria Dudzak, and I am joined in the studio by Michelle O'Brien and Andy Donato from Ketchikan Public Utilities, and they are here to offer some energy-saving tips and ideas. And this is also an opportunity for you to call in with your ideas and suggestions or questions if you have them, and I know they'll do their best to try to answer them. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And let's start. Just Michelle, tell us a little bit about you and your relation at Ketchikan Public Utilities. What do you do there?
So I work in sales and marketing and customer service, and so we're located in the plaza, and so we support the electric department in their collection of bills. People can stop in and pay their bill. And also we work very closely with the electric department when it comes to outages. A lot of people check our social media and flash alerts, so Andy and I are on always constantly texting about, you know, what's happening, why it's happening, when will the event be over. So communicating with the public and serving the public through customer service.
And actually, that's a good point for those who do use Facebook. That's a great way to find out about outages and the status of things.
And sign up for Flash Alert, because that is always a great way. So they can go to flashalert.net and sign up under the City of Ketchikan, and it's free.
Okay, good. Many different ways in which you can get involved. And Andy Donato, let folks know your association with Ketchikan Public Utilities.
Well, we try to manage this infrastructure, so we're responsible for the generation of power, and along with that generation comes a transmission, a distribution. Within that, then ultimately comes metering down to the individual customer, so we handle that. Invoicing. And then all of the maintenance associated with that infrastructure. So we have some 43 people, and believe it or not, between all the other divisions, water and telecom, we actually manage a rolling stock of about 139 pieces of equipment. So we do that maintenance as well.
I know also with the power generation, sometimes there are situations where you have to switch to diesel because levels are low, and it seemed like this year had good, even though we didn't have good snowpack, I guess, last year, good water levels this year.
Nobody would have thought that. So going in, going into early summer here, let's look at, say, late spring, early summer, there was no snowpack. Normally we make an effort and we go and try to evaluate that. We have special sticks we stick in the snow and we measure density of the water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there wasn't any. And we all thought doom and gloom, but the rain gods came at unpredictable intervals and kept the lakes full and spilling throughout the entire summer.
And I know oftentimes people are asked to conserve energy when there are those situations. Obviously, we didn't have it now, but it's not a bad idea to save money and to conserve energy year-round.
Well, who doesn't want to save money, right? So there's all sorts of ways. And if you go to the KPU Electric Facebook page, we're constantly putting ideas on there. And I think Andy will talk about some of those today. But, you know, even this time of year, people are putting up their Christmas lights, certainly generating a little more usage on their end at their home or their business in terms of heating their home, again, putting up the Christmas lights. And I think there's some small ways that people can – that are really, really simple that don't necessarily involve an investment on their part, where you can just unplug some things, you know, Voodoo Electric, Phantom Electric, all those kind of things, and save a little bit, you know, because every little bit helps, and it helps the community as well.
And so what are some of those tips?
Well, I mean, obviously, so think about this. You know, a lot of people use space heaters. If you can just dial it down a notch, you know, look at what kind of power those space heaters are drawing. And if you're not going to be in the room, go ahead and turn those off. The first thing that I can say is, you know, Christmas lights this time of year, if you can put them on timers, absolutely do that. That goes without saying. I know myself, I'm kind of a Christmas, I don't know, I go a little overboard at Christmas. So I could literally look back over the last several years and say, based on the Christmas lights that we put up, that it might cost me an extra $50 over the season just to have those lights up. But by putting timers on, I actually noticed a difference in that. So space heaters are huge. So you really need to monitor your use of the space heaters. And then think about this. You know, some folks, they're really, you know, you're inside. You're not exactly outside grilling this time of year, right? So a lot of people are firing up the electric ovens. You've got the holidays right around the corner. Why not multitask your oven? That sounds so simple and probably silly, but not one at a time. Does that make sense? You're looking at me like, no, I don't cook. But so there's a number of different ways, and we're constantly putting other ideas.
So you're saying
not one
that's like inside the oven, put in two trays of cookies instead, or two or whatever.
Pack it in there, absolutely. And the same thing goes with your, you know, if you're doing your regular household tasks. Let's talk about laundry. There's absolutely, with today's more modern appliances, there's absolutely no reason why you should really be washing your items in anything but cold water, because the detergents in the machines nowadays, they'll do just as well using cold water as opposed to a warmer or hot water. So when you think about all of these little silly little things, they do add up. And people can look at – they can realize a savings. And, of course, every home is different. Everyone's usage is different. But, you know, you can look at saving tens and, you know, more than $20, $25, up to $50 just if you adjust and dial back a couple things around your home.
And I am a person – I keep the heat off unless I'm there. But I know a lot of people leave the heat on while they're out, and then – I've heard the argument of, oh, it uses so much more energy to reheat the house. Any comments on that?
Boy, that's a big question there. Depends a lot on the windows. Depends a lot on the weather. You know, yesterday it was a sunny morning, and homes that face the right direction, that thermal energy comes through those windows. You know, and they make windows now with special glass, e-glass. It's kind of a one-way street. Picks up the infrared on the way in, doesn't let it out. So we talked about some of the low-hanging fruit, but there's other stuff within the home energy programs within the state and the feds. You can get into some of the things where they'll help with replacing of windows and doors and sealing things up. So I think windows and doors also, you want to look at sealing those up as best as possible, especially around the thresholds. I think another area that's low-hanging fruit is lighting. If you look in the last, say, 3 years, we noticed that there's been a big change to something called compact fluorescent CFLs, and now more recently to LEDs. So now if you go to the hardware stores now, Walmart, et cetera, you see a lot of big push towards the LEDs. So that type of lighting gives you savings on the order of a quarter to a fifth of what the old incandescents were. So tremendous load change. And we see that here. We see that overall with the load. I want to mention 2012-2013, KPU put on an initiative, an energy conservation initiative. And we got on board with a group, a consultant group called Clear Result. So we had a steering committee. We got several council members on board with that. We went through, I think, some 14 or so different consultants. We narrowed it down, got on board with this particular one. And I think we were very effective. So some of the areas we looked at was lighting, appliances, heating. You know, we gave incentives at that time period.
We did. If they were to shop locally and buy energy-efficient light bulbs, they were to get a rebate.
We looked at heating, space heating. You mentioned space heating. Also blankets for hot water heaters. We also looked at reducing flow reducers for hot water. On the commercial side, that was really big. Well, at any rate, all that said, we wound up with about a 4% decrease in load the following year. Now, that's huge, 4%. Now, going along with that, I think Mother Nature helped us also. Mother Nature gave us a milder winter. And everybody wants to give that milder winter credit. But, geez, we did put the effort together, and I know that it was significant. And then the year after that, we also dropped about 1.5%, and now this year again. So since this energy initiative, let's see, we've dropped about 7 or 8%, and that's huge.
Yeah, community-wide, that is really huge. And, you know, going back to the consulting firm that we worked with, what I really liked about that project is that, you know, everyone goes, oh, consultants, that was just a real quick kind of in and out of the consultant. They have done this around the nation. And so this was a relatively simple project for them, very quick, very efficient for the city of Ketchikan, especially given the results that we realized. So it wasn't – I don't want the public to think that it was a huge consulting project. It really wasn't. But it was more of also a public education project too in terms of, you know, getting the word out. I don't know and again, I've been in Ketchikan for going on 7 years, but I can't recall in the time that I've been here such a concerted effort to really educate the public and to really get everyone on board. And I think that also was – nicely piggybacked with the state's efforts and various organizations' efforts. You know, I keep getting these calls. We get these calls at KPU. Can you help us get the word out about these free weatherization programs? We're dying to have people participate in this. And, you know, sometimes there is a waiting list, but some folks don't know that, you know, you may be eligible based on your income, your household size, so on and so forth. There's various guidelines. But whether you're a renter or whether or not you own your home, the amount of work that these folks come in and do at your home virtually free of charge, if not free of charge, is significant. You know, new hot water heaters, new furnaces, you know, based on their assessment of your home, new windows, sealing the doors. And what I have heard is the energy savings for folks that have participated in this program are huge, just absolutely significant. And they're in their pocketbook every month. So, that's a huge payoff, don't you think?
Huge. Well, you asked me earlier, and I don't know if I sufficiently answered the question, but so in the daytime, you get a little bit of sunlight. If you have the proper windows and you're sealed up, you'll retain heat or gain heat from that daylight. And then, of course, in the evening hours, you maybe have to augment that with adding heat. So at any rate, the windows are very, very effective. And so it's important to put some effort in sealing and making sure you have good windows.
And I do want to remind folks, this is a call-in program. If you, and perhaps maybe someone out there who benefited from the energy, the state energy program or one of those programs, could offer their insights to what that did for them. Or if you have some tips or you have questions, you can give us a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. You mentioned, Michelle, about, phantom energy. And those are the kinds of things you have, say, your microwave oven plugged in and the clock is on.
Yep. And Andy might be able to talk more about this. But what that is, you know, look around your kitchen. To me, that's the easiest room to look around. Or maybe your office. That would be another easy one. And look around and say, okay, I'm going to leave my house right now, but my toaster's still plugged in, my coffee maker's still plugged in, my microwave's still plugged in. All of these various things that people assume are not drawing power just because they're off. But that isn't necessarily the case, is it, Andy?
That's true, especially if they have clocks on them. Another thing, too, is all the little charging devices, whether it's for laptops or cell phones, et cetera, if you leave those plugged in, the transformers are still excited, small power supplies in them, but there's still a small load. So, it's nice to have habits where you unplug those as well.
So there's obvious things where the light is on or a clock is on that would tell you this is drawing power. Are there things that maybe aren't obvious that are drawing power? Can you think of anything like that?
TV sets.
Yeah, absolutely. I read somewhere that or someone had told me that if you sleep with your big screen TV on overnight and leave it on, that's costing you roughly $5 a month.
So even but your TV just being plugged in is drawing power too.
Absolutely.
Whether it's on or off.
Absolutely. So, you know, you got to kind of think about what you're really willing to walk around the house and unplug each and every day. Right.
And accessible. In some cases, it's probably hard
to
get to.
Appliances are an easy one. You know, you're not using your KitchenAid mixer every single day.
Okay. And we do have a caller. Shauna Lee is on the line. And I think, Shauna Lee, you took advantage of the weatherization or have a question about that?
I did take advantage of the weatherization program, and it was fantastic. It ended up saving me a huge amount of money in the long run. So I suggest anybody who may be interested just at least to go and check out if they're eligible, because it had a huge impact on our home.
How did that process work? Was it relatively easy?
It was. It was, you know, of course, there's an application process, and you have to meet the financial qualifications, but I was a single mom with two teenage daughters in the house, so we pretty easily met the qualifications. And then somebody came to our home, and they made an assessment. They did a big blowout test. They sealed the doors and checked everywhere that they thought the house needed some improvement. And then they made this big list and said, here's what we can do for you. And they insulated my attic. They insulated my basement. They put insulation around the stove pipes. They put in a new stove pipe, actually. And then because my house was 100 years old, it's more than 100 years old now, and the front of it is all giant windows. It's 12-foot expanses of windows, which I'm sure a lot of people in Ketchikan are familiar with the type of old windows that some of our homes have. And in the budget that they had set, they only had an allowance for two windows. And because I wanted to replace all of them, they were very kind. And I said, if I pay a little bit extra, can I please get all three of these 12-foot windows replaced? And they did it. And so my house got completely new windows facing the bay, and it was the difference. It was night and day with as far as how warm the house was. So fantastic opportunity for anybody that might need some weatherization.
Well, that was very smart on your part to augment that and get the new windows, because I think that that's where you're going to have some tremendous savings.
Oh, yeah. You could feel the wind coming through those old 100-year-old windows. So, yeah, for just a little bit of extra money, I basically had my entire house redone. And they were really super friendly about it. They did it quickly. They were in and out within a day and a half. It was fantastic. And anybody that doesn't at least go and see if they're eligible is basically just leaving money sitting on the ground, because it was a fantastic program, and I really wish everybody would at least see if they're eligible.
And did you have to pay? I mean, you mentioned you had to pay extra because of the work, the additional work you wanted done, but would you otherwise have had to pay?
Nope, nope. There would have been no charge for all of that, and it was, I mean, it was a 12 feet of windows is pretty expensive,
oh,
but
yeah.
In my mind, you know, I took out a little loan to get it done. It was, I think it was about, you know, maybe about $2,000 extra dollars. I mean, these windows are gigantic. But as you can imagine, if you have a 12-foot hole in your house that's not holding in any heat, I thought it would be foolish of me not to do it, because in the long run it would have, you know, kind of canceled out some of the other things that they were doing if I didn't get those windows replaced. So it was a few thousand extra dollars to get that done, because it did include their time, of course. But it was so worth it to do it. And, I can't stress enough how important it is for everybody, especially with the older houses that we have here in Ketchikan, to at least see if they're eligible.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for that input.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, good to know. A personal story. Because you hear about these programs, but unless you yourself have experienced them or know someone, you are a little like, I don't know what I might be getting myself into.
Well, and it's been my observation from these various organizations that have been doing this over the years that it kind of comes in waves. Sometimes they have a little bit of a waiting list, and other times, literally, they are calling me at KPU saying, hey, can you guys make us a commercial? Because we need more people. You know, we're dying to have more people. I mean, and after all, it is free. You know, you can augment, as Shauna Lee did, but you're certainly not obligated to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just really is interesting, the various programs out there. And I'm wondering, with the budget cuts in the state, if those programs are getting cut at all, or they're still going? It sounds like they're still going.
You know, great question.
We'll have to ask them.
Yeah. As we queue up the next caller.
Okay, and I believe I have Pat on the line with a question. Hi, Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I had weatherization done a few years ago on my building here downtown, or my house, and it's over 100 years old also. And they said that they wouldn't replace the windows because they weren't certified to remove lead paint. And I was just curious about that. Are there different outfits that do the weatherization?
Well, there are. And I'm going to say this with the caveat that I don't know if all of these organizations are actually currently doing this. You know, Maria had mentioned some budget cuts. I do know that KIC had a program. Alaska Housing Finance had a program. And I felt like there was one other one. But if you Google it, I believe that they will come up. And I believe we have some information down at KPU in the plaza if you'd like to stop in. I could certainly do the research for you. I'd be happy to.
Hey, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. I'll probably see you at the office there. Thank you ever so much.
See you at 9:01 a.m., I guess.
She'll give you a call. All right. Thanks, Pat. And we should point out Andy Donato and Michelle O'Brien are not with the weatherization program. They are with Ketchikan Public Utilities, so they certainly can speak with tips that they have and info they know. And certainly, yeah, we'll try to get that info out to you as best as we know. There are several programs that do weatherization, but we're not the experts on it in this room.
Well, and so we talk about conserving, and obviously the end result is for a person to be able to save money on their own bill, but also to do great things for the community. So when we lessen our demand on electricity, Andy, I don't know if you could speak a little bit on what that does for the community as a whole, maybe for our power system.
That's good. First off, let me get back to this Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, AHFC. So if you're going to Google something, that's a good place to start. Within that, I think, are some three programs. So there's Alaska Housing Weatherization Program, there's Alaska Home Energy Rebate Program, and then there's also heating assistance programs. So there's a place to start for those that have a little time on it, want to Google that. As far as the demand on the system, we have access to some 9 small generators. And, of course, we use a renewable resource here, the lake reservoirs. If we can keep the demand down and we can manage that, it's just more cost-effective, period. And the idea of the game, you know, the way the rain works here and the lake levels, this time of the year, November, is very critical. We want to make sure that we go into the winter with full reservoirs. So I think if you look outside today, we're going to get a little assistance with Mother Nature, right? And I mentioned here all through the summer. So we're pretty much full. We're pretty much chock-a-block full. I think we got a little room up in Upper Silvis. So now as the temperatures start dropping into higher elevations, that water will freeze, and we won't get inflows. So now from here into March or April, we'll be using whatever water is left in those lake systems. Now, we will get some additional rain on snow. There's rain on snow events. But for the most part, that's the way that cycle works. So it's very important that we continue this energy conservation and make this water stretch. So now what happens if we don't? Well, as the lake levels get low, then we have to fire up the diesels. The diesels, they used to be very, very costly, right? If we go back 2-3 years ago, I think 2012, we burned in the winter months some $2.7 million in diesel fuel. Well, remarkably, that's come down now, right, to almost half the cost. So that wouldn't be so bad. Still, it's a significant amount of money.
Is that because the fuel costs are down?
Fuel costs have come down considerably. So that's trying to answer this question about demand. The object of the game is energy conservation and limit the demand, stretch the water out, and it becomes cheaper for everybody.
Okay, and we do have another caller on the line. MJ joins us. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. Do you have a question or comment?
Both. First of all, we took advantage of the energy weatherization. We have an older home also. They didn't do the windows in our home, but they did a lot of other things, and they felt that the windows, despite them being old, were not our biggest problem. But what I did to compensate for that, and we've managed to make it look fairly nice, and I know other people that have done it after I've suggested that we went out and bought fleece blankets. When we had a real cold snap a few years ago, I put blankets over the window, and the difference, actually my husband made a comment about, wow, I can already feel it after a half a blanket. I thought he was making a joke and not a nice one. But he was serious. It was huge. And so at night when it's cold, we have fleece blankets that match the decor. I went out and picked nice fleece blankets that kind of look like curtains. And I had insulating curtains on, and they did nothing compared to the fleece blankets. So getting rid of drafts, making it warmer, those were huge in our home. A couple of other things that I've done over the years that have made a huge difference for me, I mean, I've been doing these for more than 20 years, I have a timer on my hot water tank, and you can buy extra pins so you can set it to come on and off three times. My timer comes on twice a day. It comes on early in the morning for morning showers, and it comes on in the afternoon because my husband does hot, sweaty work, and so he can come home and easily take a shower. The water is still hot enough for a shower at midnight, even though the timer goes off, I think, at 5 or 6, unless we do laundry that has hot water or dishes. But there's a little button you push, and boom, your hot water tank is back on. Easy. Turn it off just as easy.
MJ, thank you for that. Let me ask you, do you also use blankets around the hot water tank?
We did. We didn't have one inside. We had an insulated tank. And I'll tell you, I tried for years to get one because I thought, well, KPU should have them. Everybody should have them. We actually had to order one. I've had a blanket for so long. Nobody was giving them away, and nobody was selling them at the time. I couldn't find one in town. So we actually had to order one, which we did. So I've had a blanket on my hot water tank almost as long as I've had this house.
We should remind people. We should remind people, MJ, that that's not any old blanket. It's a special blanket.
It's not like the
safety first
on my window. It is a special blanket that has like a special liner on it. It's almost like plastic on the outside, like an insulation. It's, you know, because it is made of insulation. It's not like my fleece blankets on the window. And another thing that I use that I have used for 30 years or more, it's not just a flow restrictor on our shower head, which we have. We also got a shower head with a push button on off, which is great. But what I've had for years is a ball valve at my shower head. And the beauty of that is when I'm done washing my hair, I have long hair, I have a lot of hair, I need full power. But when I'm done with that, I can turn the water down and not spend 10 minutes trying to keep the hot water at the same temperature. I used to spend so much time and so much energy just trying to get that water turned down but keep the same temperature. And with the ball valve, you just adjust the ball valve. The thing is like $8 or $9 at Madison when they have them. Again, those have been hard to find because I buy them and give them to people. Turn that valve down, and you can turn the water down to completely off if you want. But I can turn the water down to probably half as much flow usually with tiny little turn, and I don't waste any energy trying to adjust and keep the hot water hot. And then we also rewired our home. It was a bit of a process, but our electric bill has come down. And then Andy knows this one. We got a new transformer. And no, that's not inside our house. Well, first we had bad power lines into the house that cost us hundreds of dollars a month, or not a month, but a year. And then we got a new transformer. And I don't know why it would make a difference, but since we got the new transformer, it looks like our power has come down as well. We've had some of the lowest power bills the entire time I've lived in the house.
Excellent. So, very cool. Thanks for sharing.
Sure. As well as we do, we have timers for lights. I put things on surge protectors and power bars so I can turn the power bars off and turn everything off at once. So I can turn a lot of things off at night. And I do unplug. And if you look at our bill has come down over the years substantially.
Hey, thanks for sharing. Those are all awesome ideas.
Oh. Absolutely. Thanks for suggesting these things to people.
Yeah, thank you very much. And popular show right now. We have some more callers on the line. And now joining us is Floyd, I believe. Floyd, are you there?
Good morning, Floyd. Can you hear me? I mean, good morning.
Good morning.
You can hear me, obviously.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you that I had the energy rebate program done 2 summers ago now. And when he scanned with the infrared camera, I discovered that I have a peaked ceiling in my living room and I have a decorative beam. The decorative beam had warped, and I had not really noticed it, and there was horrific air being sucked into the house, which means without his fan, heat and everything going out of the house. Horrific. So I got all that fixed. And I just still find it hard to believe how much my fuel oil usage has dropped because of closing that gap. Of course, numerous other things were done as well. The other thing I wanted to comment on is my kitchen and my bedroom are over the garage, and they had me insulate the ceiling in the garage. And before the insulation, when I put my hands on two different places on the pile, I could feel the cold. Now it's nice, cozy, warm kitchen towel. But I just wanted to share the information about the unknown to me and probably previous owners, the information about the horrific gap in the ceiling.
Okay, well, thanks, and that's a good thing to know is, you know, unless you go up there and look around and do some assessments, you might not even know where all the leaks in your home are.
Can be very surprising.
Oh, my gosh, there were leaks that I didn't know about, and got them all done. It's incredibly good.
All right. Thank you very much, Floyd.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay, and we have another caller, and I believe this is Brett. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and you have a question about streetlights?
I do. I'm wondering what efforts, if any, are being taken to address streetlights around town. Driving through town and walking through town, I noticed there are a lot of streetlights that flash on for a while and flash back off or don't turn on at all, especially at critical locations like crosswalks. And it seems like I've heard the radio announcements to call in to Bailey Power Plant when you observe a streetlight that's malfunctioning. But it seems like a much bigger effort is needed to go through town and address or investigate each lamp.
Okay.
Well, I guess that falls in my bailiwick. Very good question, and I appreciate you bringing this up. So to give you some idea of magnitude, we have some 1,800 streetlights. So it's a large budget item, and those streetlights fall into two areas. One of those areas is regulated by the state, in particular DOT. So those would be lights along Tongass, the highway, and then the rest of the borough and the city aren't so regulated. So for the area that's not so regulated, we've put forth a heavy initiative into LED lighting. If you want to see some LED lighting, we had a couple of areas we started first. One of those is along Deermont, and the other one was the 3rd Avenue Bypass. You can look at those lights, the color of those lights. We have some other areas and some other lights that we've tried as well. So that's the initiative there. Now, if you're talking around Tongass, we have a lot of people helping us. So we had the police department in the evening hours do an assessment. We've had our own people do an assessment. As you've indicated, folks call in. I think there's also a city website, and we accumulate those, and we get on them as weather and time permits and replace those lights and or photocells, et cetera. It is a 365-day out of the year effort to try to keep all those lights on, 1,700, 1,800 lights, and functioning. So as you commented, those with photocells, they go on and off for a variety of reasons. But anyway, so as folks call in, we get on them, and we're going to make a very, very strong initiative here this month to try to get that straightened out, since you notice now with the time change especially, the days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, and those lights are definitely needed and appreciated. I don't know if I answered your question. Is there something more direct you had for me?
No, I mean that sounds good. That you guys are definitely sounds like you guys are definitely making an effort towards it. And you know, I don't know if you prioritize, but it seems like the crosswalks. Last night, even I was crossing Tongass in town, and thankfully a truck eventually stopped. But the crosswalk was completely dark and a street lamp on either side of it was out as well.
And where was this, Tongass and what? What intersection?
This was actually at 3rd Avenue, Tongass and 3rd Avenue.
All right, I made a note of that. Okay. There's nothing like prioritizing right now. So
okay.
Appreciate
right.
that. I want to mention another thing on here on the street lighting. So DOT has some specifications on lighting, and I wish that they would open up the door to LED lights. but they haven't gotten there yet, right? In order for them to do that, they have to do a lot of sophisticated testing and approvals, et cetera, et cetera. So right now, just the old style, I think, what do you want to call them, metal halides or high-pressure sodiums are what they use. And they have quite a restriction on what we can stick in, so we have to use those. There's some tremendous energy savings if we go to the LED styles, right? And again, it's about 1/4 or 1/5 of what the old styles are. And then you can also get significant light densities for the same amount of power, so you can get more light for less usage or less power usage. But so we'll get there eventually with DOT. In any event, we're still responsible, and we'll get on these lights. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Brett. And we're running out of time here. I do have a previous caller called in reminding folks that your comfort increases with weatherization. So don't necessarily just do it for energy savings. Do it for your own comfort.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. And I to add to the streetlight, I actually called because there was a streetlight that was sometimes on, sometimes off, and reported that because I was like, I swear it was out yesterday, it's on today. And they were able, I think, to adjust the light because of somehow sensors or however they work. I don't even know. But it's fine. It's been fine for years now, ever since I reported it. But I think it's important for people to do that, to report. If there's something out there, they won't know about it. You know, they may not know about it. Crews may not be there right at the right time to observe it. But if you know it, let them know.
Well, you know, and that's interesting that you should say that. We appreciate, and I'll just say this because I'm actively involved in this on a daily basis, but we appreciate the fact there has been a significant uptick, I would say, in the last couple of years about how interactive the community is with KPU Electric. And the amount of communications that we get from the public could be regarding streetlights. It could be anything. They will say, you know, we see a crew here, or the power is out here. A lot of times I'll actually get communications from the public before I've heard from Andy. It's usually a millisecond before I've heard from Andy. But we really appreciate the effort that people go to not only support, you know, our very dedicated KPU Electric employees who are out there, you know, on days like today, but just, you know, kind of this is our community. So when you can serve, you help the community. And when you communicate with us, you help us to do our job better. Wouldn't you say so, Andy?
Yeah. You know, I want to take just a moment here to comment on outages, right? You know, if you took a Pareto chart and you looked at all the outages we get and you stick them in that category, so we find out that tree branches and bird strikes are our biggest culprit. So we put a very, very large initiative into something called flight diverters. So as you travel south of town, the biggest areas we had was around Mountain Point Boat Launch and the Herring Cove area. So we had multiple strikes. And so we put a large initiative. We covered up in rubber, something called high dielectric rubber. We covered up a whole bunch of stuff in the substations. And then also we put these flight diverters on the highest line. So as you drive down there and you look up, you'll see the flight diverters. And so I think that we've effectively dropped those types of outages. Now, the other is tree branches. So this past year, we put an extra amount of money into right-of-way clearing. And so we had a contractor come in, and we did a significant amount of clearing to try to mitigate that as well. So I'm hoping that makes a big difference here in this following year, and we don't get so many. So I appreciate everybody's tolerances there. Normally, we respond very, very fast, right? There's two indexes to follow. One is called a SAIDI index. One is called a SAIFI index. One is a measurement of frequency of outages, and the other one is duration. So I think our utility responds extremely fast and gets the power on extremely fast compared to others. You know, when you look at outages, say, way up in the north in Anchorage or down south in Seattle, you find tens of thousands of people are out for days. That's not the case here. We're relatively fortunate. We can get people up in either minutes or just a few hours.
Okay, and we are out of time. Thank you so much for being here. It is just about 9 o'clock, and we will head over to Engines of Our Ingenuity and a couple of announcements. Again, thank you very much, Andy Donato, Michelle O'Brien, for being here. And great information, great conversations, and we'll have to do this again.
Definitely.
I bet there's more ideas that'll come in as well. Thank you so much.